thanks for joining me today. I have Connor Jeffers, who is the founder and CEO at Aptitude 8. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about yourself and about Aptitude 8.
Yeah, for sure. So A8 is a HubSpot Elite partner. We do implementation, optimization, and integration of the HubSpot platform. So our business is largely around both helping companies get HubSpot sort of implemented and operational for running their core business, as well as extending and improving the platform and integrating all of their data and other infrastructure and systems back into the product at large. We're sort of like the HubSpot ecosystem is super interesting because you have a lot of folks that anyone who's been around for honestly longer than 2 or 3 years was probably in more of the marketing agency side. And that was sort of what the program was oriented around previously. And so we were kind of like the first in this arena of like, we're very ops focused, we're very platform focused, we're very technology focused, and we didn't really like fit into the program for a long time. And so now, as the platform's evolving and as we're seeing sort of like HubSpot cater and more of their CRM platform side to larger and more robust companies with more complex needs, they're looking for service providers to be able to help them get the product tailored to exactly what they want and sort of extend and add functionality beyond sort of the out-of-the-box stuff that the HubSpot might be able to do. So Aptitude 8 really focuses on helping people do that kind of stuff. Business is about 3.5 years old, and it's about 40 folks.
And so 3.5 years, how long have you been an Elite partner?
I don't even know. A year and a half, 2 years?
Okay.
I very acutely remember when it happened, and I'm trying to like plot that on like my linear map of time. I think it's about 2 years. I know we were the fastest to Elite ever. And so I think it was like 2 years from the outset. And for us, I think a lot of people are like, oh my God, what's sort of the secret sauce? I think that it was a little bit of a right place, right time, where we were catering to a segment in the HubSpot universe that everybody else hadn't really figured out how to service yet. And as a result, I think that we had the opportunity to be involved in stuff that candidly, like we used to remark all the time that like we were working on these deals at sort of the scale and size and level of complexity that I was just like, if we were in the Salesforce ecosystem, like all of these would be going to Accenture, to Deloitte. And like, it's just like wild that we're even involved in these. And I think that that's a big byproduct of how quickly the platform is evolving and expanding what it's capable of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people for a long time have thought of HubSpot as just a small business, mid-market CRM marketing automation, but they've done a lot to really expand into the enterprise. And you probably got in right at that time, right, when they were making that pivot, and that's where you focused with the complexities. And so do you typically work with the enterprise level clients, or kind of where do you fit into that?
Yeah, so our customer segment's a little bit all over the place, to be honest with you. I think the more automated and connected they're trying to make their customer experience, the more likely we are to work with them. And so I think very large organizations like have to do this. Like it's an existential type of thing. Like if you don't create a really amazing buying and selling and marketing and servicing experience for your team and for your customers, you just sort of like lose, right? And the stakes get bigger as you increase in scale. But I think we also work with a fair number of, usually if it's smaller company, it's going to be like venture-backed startup. They behave a lot more like companies at much larger scale. But I mean, we have customers anywhere from, you know, 20, 30 headcount type organizations, all the way up to like, we just did Uber and South by Southwest. And those are obviously massive organizations with lots and lots of folks. And we have another major cruise line we're doing a big case study on right now. But I think we've gotten a little bit of clout for doing big complicated stuff, but we really love working with organizations that like we have a private equity backed, like 100 folks business that does like marketing for recruiting and staffing. And we have done a ton of work for them. They're one of our sort of like largest customers by spend and relationship value, but they're certainly not the biggest in terms of total headcount. They're just HubSpot's really delivering the entirety of their product, which is ultimately like a service and sort of augmented tech-enabled service experience. And so because of that, we end up doing a lot of work with them. So I think it has a lot more to do with the level of robustness that your systems and your RevOps and your sort of business infrastructure is versus size and scale of the company itself. And I think if you're on the smaller end, huge opportunity to extract major advantages over competitors and other things you're doing by making those types of investments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And staffing, it's interesting you mentioned that. That was really my niche with HubSpot, and still is, but it kind of fell off a cliff in March.
Sure.
With what I was doing. And so yeah, I had some of my best revenue months about February, March, April, but I knew could celebrate it too much because things just slowed down so much in staffing.
Things have slowed down across the board. I mean, I feel like we're just, the first half of this year was Q1 especially, was just like the most challenging that I've experienced in my career. And I think the Q2 is a little bit better. We're starting to feel like a little bit cautiously optimistic about the rest of this year. But I think the first half of this year has been really an uphill battle for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's been tough. And I feel like in the last couple of weeks, I've felt a little bit more coming back than what had. And so that's given me hope. In my, you know, it's kind of like in March Madness, my objective has pivoted from like these goals to survive in advance, just like get through the end of the year and just weather the storm however I can. Right. And so yeah, it's been challenging, but yeah, still things happening, still have clients. And so yeah. And so when you started, kind of to go back a little bit to when you created Aptitude 8, was it just you? Was it you and a couple of people? Like, how did it start? And I mean, the ramp to elite is super fast. When you said that you've only been around for three and a half years, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Fast. So how did it start and how did you grow early on?
Yeah. So this business is a little bit of an outcropping. I think before this, I was working on a venture studio with a couple of other partners. We were doing some services stuff. We were trying to build sort of like incubate software companies and launch them out. The other co-founder and I had met at a different venture studio out of Chicago. And after like grinding away for a couple of years, we were starting to realize like, wow, unless we have like the $10 million in the bank from a significant LP, like this is just like really hard to get businesses up in the air. But we kind of had this little services segment that was doing well. So we were doing stuff with Salesforce, we were doing stuff with Outreach, we were doing some stuff with HubSpot. And he had a baby, he got an offer from one of our clients to come on full-time as CRO. We sort of like, we're thinking about what to do with the team. And we sort of decided to go our separate ways. And as I was looking at kind of the mix of stuff that I had been exposed to and kind of like where I thought the opportunity sat, I sort of had grown up in the Salesforce ecosystem. I knew sort of the Model Metrics and the Blue Wolf guys and some of the people that have sort of built really incredible firms in the Salesforce universe. And it was sort of like looking and getting more acquainted with HubSpot and starting to see their investment on the CRM side and starting to see sort of like the sophistication of the ecosystem around it. And was like, this is really, really interesting. And I think that there's a really big opportunity to really build a technical services and sort of like management consulting company in the HubSpot space, where it seems like most of the folks were spending time on marketing services or growth services, and sort of that there seemed to be sort of this increasing vacuum. And this was pre-custom objects, pre-Ops Hub, like pretty early days on the platform side. And so with A8, the original service set was sort of like, and my background, my most technical skill set to this day is still on the Salesforce side. So we were doing lots of Salesforce work, lots of HubSpot work, lots of Outreach work, and sort of started the company, picked up a couple of freelance clients, hired two or three people in the first couple months off of that initial revenue stream. And then we just kind of scaled up the business from there. And then we didn't go full in on HubSpot until like a year and a half in. And at that point, we were kind of like, it was right when Ops Hub launched and Custom Objects launched. And we were like, oh, wow. And we started seeing like, I remember we closed our first, and now this is wild because like this happens pretty regularly now, but like our first like big six-figure CRM project. And we were just like, whoa, like this is wild. Like I had no idea that we were able to extract this much service revenue from HubSpot stuff. And we were like, we thought we had to do big Salesforce projects in order to make that work. And we sort of made the decision of, And at the time we were sort of a fast growing partner on the outreach side as well. And we were churning people on our outreach and our Salesforce service line. And it was really, really hard to recruit and retain. And at the same time, we like couldn't staff all the HubSpot work that was coming in. Mm. And so we kind of made the decision of, why don't we just fold the rest of this stuff? And we move everything over into HubSpot and we'll do HubSpot. And that'll be kind of like our core focus. And so we still touch lots of other systems, lots of other tools. We do a lot of work with data warehousing and custom integrations and AWS stuff, but we sort of define like our ICP as people that are either currently HubSpot customers looking at and moving and implementing HubSpot or sort of curious about what HubSpot can do for their organization. And that's kind of where we focus our energy.
Do you think having a background in Salesforce like you do, where it is a lot more technically complex, a lot more of it is customized when you are implementing Salesforce, do you think that gave you an advantage to doing what you're doing with HubSpot now versus someone who has only been in HubSpot, hasn't had that deep technical insight from Salesforce?
Yeah, I mean, I think the short answer is yes, but I think the long answer is a little bit more nuanced. I think it's that you cannot find a HubSpot architect that has 5 years of experience in designing and building and integrating HubSpot systems, because like you couldn't do it 5 years ago. That didn't exist. And so I think it's not so much that like, oh, Salesforce experience is better than HubSpot experience. I think it's that if you're looking at anybody and you're looking for really, and I think experience matters. I think it's one of the things that you really can't replicate. And unfortunately it takes reps and it takes time. And that really bummed me out a lot in my early 20s. But I think that you could not have relevant experience. And I think one of the things that's hard is like, if you've only ever been in a HubSpot space and you've only done HubSpot stuff, and maybe you have like 5-8 years of HubSpot platform level experience, like realistically you have 18 months of technical architecture experience, because that's how long building this stuff on HubSpot was possible. And we're only going to see that increase more. Like some of the new stuff you can do with like the CRM card betas and some of the new API infrastructure work you can do and the extensibility pieces, like you really have to bring in experience from ancillary areas in order to come in and have really any idea what you're doing, because the core system just hasn't had that level of functionality long enough that you were able to develop that experience. And so something that we look for internally, like when we do hiring for RevOps consultants or people in that arena, we value Salesforce experience a lot. We value NetSuite experience a lot. Any kind of strong relational database stuff goes a really, really long way. And then on the developer side, we look a lot for things that are built in similar languages. So like, have you been building in automation tools? Have you built extensions in like a Trade.io or an iPaaS system? Is like a really good way to be like, you'll have a good handle on something like an Ops Hub coded action or React and sort of other React modules and how that plays out in CRM cards and some of those other pieces. But yeah, I mean, it's not that I think if you did Salesforce before, you'll be better at HubSpot. I just think that like, if you, no one on earth has more than 18 months of complex technical HubSpot experience. And so if you want to have more than that, then it would have to be supplementary.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And is there, when clients come to you, prospective clients come to you, is there like a common type of project that you see more often than not? Are they coming from Salesforce fully into HubSpot? Are they integrating HubSpot with Salesforce? Is there something else? Like, what's the most common use case that you guys get?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most common project for us is we are implementing HubSpot, right? Like, I think that's like the biggest thing that we run into. What's super interesting is that increasingly I would say the vast majority of net new deals are competitive with Salesforce, either in that their Salesforce is the other vendor and they're sort of implementing it for the first time, or it's they're currently on Salesforce and they're moving off. And we're seeing this like pretty interesting swell of people ditching Salesforce and kind of moving over. So we do a lot of Salesforce to HubSpot migrations and implementations. And I think one of the things that makes us really uniquely capable of doing that is we have Salesforce certified consultants on staff. and we are a Salesforce partner. We like don't specifically do work with Salesforce, but we have the certifications and the tiering in order to we don't sell the product at all, but we have the expertise. And so we're kind of uniquely able to like talk to and understand a company's Salesforce infrastructure and then sort of translate that over. And so that's something we spend a lot of time on. But I think increasingly what we're seeing is more and more companies that are sort of like HubSpot as a business solution, as opposed to like, I'm trying to grow sales, so I'm going to buy Sales Hub, or I'm trying to increase our marketing, so I'm going to buy Marketing Hub, and more of like, we are a business, we have operations, we run, and we're looking for a platform that will run our company, and we're looking for a platform that can help us tailor and optimize and improve the way we run our company. And we think that HubSpot's potentially a really good fit for that. But here are some things that we think are edge cases, or we can't do, or we can't solve for, that we want to be able to solve for. And that's, I think, where we're uniquely positioned to be able to come in and help with that kind of work, is not only the sort of the out of the box functionality, but a lot of the custom extensibility stuff or custom integration stuff. I think big organizations, we do lots of ERP integrations, a lot of like commerce powered CRM stuff kind of across the board. But we really look at sort of like HubSpot as the solution for how your company runs.
Mm. And kind of pivoting to Ops Hub, I think it's probably the most underrated hub that HubSpot has. I mean, everybody knows Marketing Hub. Sales Hub, I feel like, is always getting a little bit more traction once people understand it and know about it. But Ops Hub, I mean, why do you think, what's made it such a game changer for you guys and for HubSpot in general, do you think?
Yeah, so I think that Ops Hub is like, it's really difficult to overstate the impact that Ops Hub brings to the table, right? So if you think about what HubSpot is at its core, really what a CRM system is, right? So you have sort of like, I have a relational database, so I have objects, they're connected to other objects, I can store properties, I can store fields, like I have information, and that's cool. But then the next layer is sort of like, I can report on all of that information. And so I want to be able to do that. And Ops Hub has some cool reporting functionality. I don't really spend that much time there because I have a lot of strong feelings about like data sets and then being an Ops Hub versus other enterprise SKUs. But Ops Hub adds some cool data and reporting functionalities. But really the main value is in the automation engine. And so when you think about what HubSpot is it's a relational database, it's fields and properties, and then it's an automation system. And before Ops Hub, the only automation you could do was automation A inside of HubSpot. So it essentially is like this self-contained machine. And so its ability is you have sort of like, hey, when these things happen, send this alert or create a task, but you can only create or edit data inside the HubSpot bubble. So that's like part one. And part two is the only actions that you are able to take are the ones that HubSpot product team has pre-designated you're allowed to have. So like create a task, create a deal, update a record, do all these things. What Ops Hub allows you to do is custom code your own action. So what that means is you can use HubSpot's out of the box, like if this, then that, like point and click logic builder. And then you can combine it with highly customized custom code that now, not only if you are sort of looking inside the bubble of go look up a record that has this criteria, but add these filters on it. And if you find it, then do this action or create this field or update this thing, or go find another record related to that record and do stuff with that one, or update this, or create a bundle of records, right? So you can start to do really complex stuff inside the bubble. But where stuff gets like really, really exciting is you can now do a lot of things outside the bubble. So you can do something like when a deal is marked closed one, run this custom coded action. And this custom coded action says, go to my ERP, look up a customer. If no customer exists, create one, generate an invoice, generate a sales order. Go create an onboarding project in my PM system that like my onboarding team uses, or go and provision a shipping label and send a shipping box to this customer so that they can mail us something back. And what this now does is it takes HubSpot from a tool for salespeople to sell stuff to a platform on top of which you can build an entire business process. And so I think that there are so many businesses, and I saw this when I was deep in the Salesforce space. It's very different. I think one of the things that people in the HubSpot universe are just still just kind of grappling and getting their heads around is like, Salesforce is not sold to any of these companies as a sales tool. And I think that there's this competition of like, oh, look at Sales Hub and look what Salesforce does. And like, it's not even in the same arena. And I'm like, that's totally true. Because like Fitbit, like the original Fitbit was literally Salesforce. Like the whole back end was Salesforce. Everything ran on Salesforce. And all they're doing is they built a device and they're pumping a UI to that device and everything else is being run on Salesforce. And I think what Ops Hub and some of the functionality that happens here is like, you can build that on HubSpot now. Like you have the level of functionality and customization and extensibility that you can really build and run an entire business on HubSpot and build all these different journeys and workflows to interface with everything else in your business stack. And that's where we really think about like HubSpot, the platform as a solution on which to build your business as opposed to a tool to generate leads or to like help your sales team manage deals. I think that stuff's important, but like, it's kind of table stakes.
Yeah. And I've heard that keeping data clean in Salesforce can be challenging. And Ops Hub kind of fixes that problem in HubSpot. But also, if you have HubSpot on, connected to Salesforce, can you use Ops Hub to also then keep your Salesforce data clean?
No.
In a way? No? Okay.
It's a bummer, actually. So when you have the Salesforce integration turned on, none of the data cleaning stuff in HubSpot works. So you can't merge records.
Oh, really?
You can't do anything. But I the data cleansing stuff in Ops Hub, I think is kind of weak today. I think it's getting better. I think that HubSpot does a great job. Like one of the things I really like, you have to caution yourself because you like age like milk really quickly, right? Of like, you're like, oh, this feature is terrible. And like you fast forward 6 months, you're like, it's pretty good now. But I think that like, HubSpot does a great job of like, hey, we made this thing, like, here it is. And you're like, this doesn't do a lot. And they're like, it doesn't. Like, but isn't it cool?
Yeah.
And that's, I think you see everything really quickly expand in functionality and breadth. Today, I think the data cleansing stuff in Ops Hub is okay. I think it's fine for relatively small and mature organizations. The reality is like data hygiene is really, really, really hard.
Yeah.
We do a lot with like InCycle as a plugin. InCycle works great. If you have Salesforce and HubSpot connected, it's one of the few tools that can manage like both and do deduplication and some management there. I think it's a great product. But we're also seeing like on the upper enterprise-y end, like we do a lot of work with Syncery and their whole product is like, and it's funny because it's a great product, but like you have to be, they'll figure it out, but you have to be like really, you have to really understand the problem to like value mm-hmm. what they're doing. But they're sort of combining this like integration IPaaS plus like static data warehousing plus reporting plus data cleansing into like one tool and one system. And we're seeing that for larger scale organizations, like it's a big game changer because so much of their pain is I have data, it's in five different systems. I'm trying to unify it. I'm trying to dedupe it. I'm trying to clean it. And it's really challenging to solve for.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Where do you think, you know, what are you most excited about on the horizon with HubSpot? Like what's coming?
I think that like the thing that I'm most excited about is like truly becoming a platform. There is so much stuff in HubSpot that there is no API for, like that you can't access. Like I just sent an email today because custom quotes in HubSpot, crazy powerful tool. Like one of the most unsung features of like integrated quote generation, e-signature, checkout, like for Zebra, which is one of the products that we built at Happily, which is the software company that we have. And we have like an integrated Stripe Zebra checkout that you can add tons of customization to. And that all runs HubSpot native and it's so cool. But the quotes API does not let you interface with digital signature or checkout. Like you can't push anything in there. And so we're like, oh, we could build this like cool front end CRM card. We could build this whole CPQ solution. We could like pipe all that data into a quote and we could send it for signature. And wow, we can like really build this custom functionality on top of HubSpot. And then you just like hit a brick wall of like, oh, the quotes API doesn't actually let you like set the status equals like ready for signature. Like it just bounces. It just is like, no, you can't do that. And I think the more that you build and develop on HubSpot, you start to run into just like a bunch of these little brick walls all over the place where you're just like, this is great. Everything's going awesome. And then you just hit it and you're like, whoa, what is this? Like, why is this here? Like, why can't I go through this? And like, there's just like no answer. We're just like, oh yeah, we didn't build that. You're like, oh my God. And so what I'm seeing is, and I think that under Karen Ning with she's running the product team now, and she is really on this warpath. But I think that like everything is a platform, everything has an API, everything's extensible is the thing I'm most excited about, because not only does that let us build really complex, interesting solutions for individual customers, but with Happily, it allows us to really build apps that do anything on top of HubSpot. And we're not limited by like, oh yeah, there's no API for that, which I think is, as somebody who builds a lot on HubSpot, it's like the most frustrating thing you can run into. It's just like, yeah, that would be really cool, but like you can't, there's no pipe. Like, so you can't access it. And that's exactly. Really frustrating.
Yeah. Interesting. And it wouldn't be 2023 if I didn't ask you about AI.
Sure.
And the impact that that's going to have. I know HubSpot's doing a lot with their chat spot. And I actually was talking to someone right before our podcast, and he was mentioning something about tech spend is way down, but where it's going to come back is in AI, and there's a big opportunity there. And I know HubSpot's doing a lot with that. What are your thoughts on AI at this point and kind of where it might be going with HubSpot?
Yeah, I'm really excited and very bullish about AI. I think that content creation and writing some blog posts and doing some of that stuff is just like the most boring rendition of it. But I think it's the early days, the very beginning, right? It's the hello world of AI, being like, oh my God, this is wild. Yeah. I think things are going to get really crazy really fast. But I think that the thing that's hard about AI is it is so powerful and it's so infinite. And like the number one trending like TikTok videos are like, oh, here's how you can like teach ChatGPT to like be X. And everyone kind of wants to know like this prompt engineering thing and the rest of it. But I think that the reality is like where AI is going to be the most impactful is in business applications. And I think where AI is going to be the most impactful is when somebody is teaching and building an LLM to like be really good at a specific use case and then be able to create a UI layer for it so that the end user is just like, it just feels like magic, right? Like it's kind of this extensibility of software. And so I think what ends up happening is like, I see a world where, and we can do this today. So like to give you a really tangible example, we have wanted to integrate with a system and we've wanted to do something like, We used this example for Ops Hub earlier. Like I want to be able to, when a deal is closed one, go create an order in NetSuite. And we have gone to ChatGPT and been like, hey, I have an order. Here are the fields that it has. And here is the mappings that I want to do to NetSuite. And I want a custom coded action written in JavaScript that will create this order in NetSuite. And it will literally give you the code that is copy pastable that you can paste into a coded action and it'll run, it'll work. And so nice. I think what's going to happen is most of that type of action ends up becoming you are just chatting with the machine and telling the machine what you're trying to do and how you want it to do it. And it's just going to give you a version of it. Like, I think you're going to have, like, we're starting to see this with like copy coded workflow actions and some of this other stuff. You'll just be like, I want to make a workflow that does these things. And it'll just be like, okay, here. And you may need to make one or two edits, right? You may need to QA it, but the speed at which people can build stuff and the level of expertise people need to have in order to build stuff just goes way down. And I think what that means is you get a lot higher levels of productivity in general, but I also think it means that like knowing what buttons to click stops being a skill that's of value. And what's most important is how do you architect stuff? How do you build stuff? How do you do things in a way that allows for people to interface with it? Sort of AI assisted agents. So I think most people will interact with AI in CRM. I think that that's where the majority of their experiences are actually going to be. And I think that it's going to really vault forward those that build in a way that allows them to leverage that tool. Because if you have, we talked about data earlier, if you have terrible data, if you have no business process, if you don't have an architecture that allows you to use it, like AI is useless to you. It can't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think AI, it's kind of how it's already being used in a lot of applications. It's going to run in the background and you might not even know that it's AI, right? That's doing some of these things that you're trying to do. And yeah, I've used it for just basic stuff. One of the things I did was, you know, we have the demo hub in HubSpot that we go through with, you know, prospective clients. And I wanted more data in there. And so I went to ChatGPT and I said, hey,
that's incredible.
Create me a 100 contacts to import into HubSpot that are just random, made up with email addresses and everything. And it just made out all these random names and random email addresses and put it into
Import it. Yeah. It's so good. Like, we're working on a project right now because like we have the same problem, right? We're working on a project right now that's like, you can go and you can interface with it. You can tell it about what kind of business you are. You can tell it about what kind of objects you need. It'll suggest objects and then it'll suggest properties for those objects. And then you can even add properties that you'd want to see. And then it'll just inject all of that into a develop portal. So it'll build the schema. It'll build all the object or all the tables, all the properties. And then it'll inject that portal with all of the sample data. And you can just be like, cool, here's my demo portal for like tractor sales, like ready to go. And I think that that's like such a good example. And I think you'll see that in like HubSpot onboarding. Like, I think it'll just be like, what do you do? What do you want to do? Do you have, can you get paste in a CSV of like companies that you work with from whatever system, or like click here and log into Pipedrive and we'll just like suck it all out and rebuild it for you. And I think that's like, that's going to be wild. And I don't think that's that is not a far-fetched future. That's like very tangible right now.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think there's some fun stuff coming out with it, or the people are doing with it. And one thing is, I feel like over the last couple of weeks, I've had an uptick in spam calls to my cell phone. And I read this Wall Street Journal article a week ago about this company here in Washington State who built this app for handling spam calls. And you download the app, you import your contacts so they're whitelisted. And then when a number calls, it's not on that, it'll ask you, press 1 to verify you're a human. And if they don't, it just hangs up and they give them 3 tries to do that. And after the 3rd try, they call back, it will engage with a voice that's AI that will communicate with the spammer and waste their time. And then it records it all and you can hear it and it's fantastic.
You can listen to it. And I
love spam calls now because it's like, all right, there's the 3rd try, the next call, they're going to get this AI bot. I'm going to have fun listening to this. So it's made spam calls enjoyable to some degree. So that's been a fun app to play with. So there's some fun things out there.
Send that to me. That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, it is. I'll shoot it over to you. Cool. I think we're up on time and really appreciate you taking the time to chat today. Where can people connect with you? Where do you hang out?
LinkedIn is my best channel. I'm Connor Jeffers on LinkedIn. I am unfortunately very active there as a byproduct of my core business, but I'm very reachable on LinkedIn and try to put stuff out on some degree of a cadence.
Awesome. Perfect. And I'll add a link to that in the show notes as well so people can connect with you. But yeah, thanks a lot for coming on and really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.